This is Talking Business.
Joining me now is Lisa Pagotto, who's the founder and director of Crooked Compass, which you started a couple of years ago, Lisa, is that right? No, 2014, so 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. May 2014, I launched my little baby.
Your little baby.
Yes.
I can't help noticing that looking at your LinkedIn profile, there's a large number of jobs up until you started your business, between starting in 2003, so 6 months here, 1 year there, 9 months there. So it strikes me that maybe you weren't a very good or weren't a happy corporate employee and that you always wanted to have your own business.
Oh, well, it's interesting that you say that because I didn't know that I wanted to have my own business, but I couldn't quite find my fit. I started in the tourism industry straight out of high school, went to travel college, and exactly as you say, I sort of job hopped every couple of years trying to find my passion. Well, I knew travel was my passion, but I couldn't quite find, did I want to be in sales, marketing, product, tour leading, and was really moving around. I mean, each time I moved around, it was to upskill myself into a higher role. But it wasn't until I stumbled, it was by accident that my business was created. And since starting that back in 2014, I've never looked back.
Well, I'd love to get into, and we'll get into, how you started the business and all that. But why was travel your passion? Why did you get into that business?
I've been quite lucky. As a child, I grew up in a family that travelled a lot. Dad travelled around for work a fair bit, and we would get to tag along if it coincided with school holidays. And we were, you know, as a four-year-old, I got to spend 2 months in Italy and Switzerland. And so from a very young age, I was exposed to long plane flights, other cultures, different foods. And I think it was just, you know, it was in my veins. And then as I got older and I could travel a little bit more independently, and I realised it's, you know, it's what I want to do. I love exploring. I love sharing my stories with people who are interested in travelling or who want to know about certain cultures and experiences. And it just, you know, it grew.
So tell us about the starting the business. Why did you do it, and what did it involve?
So the reason that I started the business was, well, the business started as a blog. The blog was called Crooked Compass, and the blog still exists on the website now. But it was me blogging all about the weird, wonderful and unique experiences that I do when I personally travel. And it was only ever meant to be a blog. And I think when I started that, it was, a lot of it was to do with timing. When I launched my blog that was in 2014, it was just as blogging was starting to become a bit of a thing and people were starting to follow bloggers and they were starting to be used as influencers. And my blog being not just a general travel blog, it was quite niche in terms of what I was writing about. It really grew a following quite quickly. And people started asking, how do you find out about these unique experiences and how can I travel like you? And that became a common question more and more regularly. And I thought, oh, never really thought about it in this way, but a lot of what I do is really, really difficult to find online and really hard to coordinate. I wonder if there's, you know, how can I collate all this information together? And that's when I built the Crooked Compass travel app, which when it first launched, it was 1,000 unique outside-the-box travel experiences for independent travellers. And it still didn't really have a revenue stream behind it.
You started off with 1,000 experiences on the app.
Yeah, when I launched it, it started with 1,000. Now there's over 2,500, so it's more than double. But there were all
1,000's quite a lot, though.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been easy to put together.
No, it did take quite some time and a lot of research. A lot of them I had personally done myself. And, you know, so a lot of the imagery and the content was written from personal experience, which, you know, of course added another element to the content that was being shared. But from there, people started sending inquiries through the app about not wanting to do them independently, but wanting to have a bit more of a handheld experience and have someone, you know, meet them on the ground and coordinate it for them and take them to these unique restaurants or to these hidden swimming spots. And from there, the product evolved into a touring product, which I started with just 6 small group tours, and now I have over 90.
And what was the first tour you ran?
The very first tour I ran was tracking snow leopards in the Himalayas in India.
Right. And did you find one?
We did. We only saw one on that departure. This year they saw 3. So fingers crossed that the next departure in January, they'll get to see a couple as well.
And do you go on all the tours still?
Not so much now. So now I only go on new tours. So if they're running for the first time, just to ensure that everything's flowing smoothly. But apart from that, once they've run once, there's no need for me to go on them again.
So how much do you charge, and how do you charge? How does it work financially?
So with the small group tours, on an average per person per day cost, our product sits around $500 Australian per person per day. And the tours vary. We've got anything from 2-day tours through to 27-day tours, depending on where you're travelling to.
And does that include getting there?
No, that's land only. So international flights are not included. And the reason for that is because we have travellers that not only come from all parts of Australia, but we're starting to grow in the US and New Zealand as well. And so to include an airfare from all different ports around the world, it's not something that we're looking at including.
No, fair enough. But do you organise the travel, the getting there or not?
We can for people based in Australia. Being an Australian-based company, we can organise Air Ex Australia. But for international, the rates are much more competitive in those countries.
And the $500 average per day, does that includes accommodation and meals?
Yes, accommodation, meals, entry fees, driver, English-speaking guide.
Everything.
Everything.
And so how many did you say you've got now?
We have 90 small group tours.
90, right. So what sort of things are you doing? I noticed that you've got Papua New Guinea, Nepal, obviously, where you're doing the snow leopards. Palestine as well?
Yes, I'm actually off there in 2 weeks. I'm heading over there to escort that tour.
I think Palestine's an interesting one.
It is.
Because it's not sort of in the wilds somewhere, but it's possibly dangerous.
Yes and no. Again, it depends on where you go. We have to be very mindful of things like that and obviously insurances. And that's with a lot of destinations, including, you know, as you mentioned, Papua New Guinea. Being an Australian-based company, we're governed by Smart Traveller. So if an area falls under a do not travel, then we of course can't run our tours. But that is something that we have to monitor very closely. But the areas like the Walking in Palestine tour that we have, that doesn't go through the areas that are, you know, the previous war zones and that sort of thing. That's walking through the canyons of the Jordan River along what's known as Abraham's Trail. There's a lot of monasteries clinging to cliffs, and you go through a lot of shepherds' villages and that sort of thing. So it's more rural countryside Palestine than the areas that have been under difficulties.
And by Palestine, we mean the West Bank, do we?
It is on the West Bank, yes.
Yeah. So interesting. I mean, you're sort of having started with a blog, the business then just grew organically. Is that right? You presumably haven't had to bring in investors or anything?
No, so there's no investors in the business. It has grown organically with my own money behind it in the beginning. And now it's carrying itself.
So it's profitable now?
It is, yes.
And how many staff do you have?
We have 3.
Right. And so how many trips do you run each month, or is there something going on continuously now?
It depends. So between July and September, that's our busiest time of year when tours are running and multiple tours are running. Our quietest time is over January and December. We don't run any of our small group tours over Christmas and New Year. So, it really depends what time of year it is, and of course the destinations as well.
And do you find that there's real growth in this, what you'd call experiential travel to different places? Is that is that becoming more and more popular?
Yeah, it absolutely is, and that's something that is becoming more and more common. You know, being within the travel industry and seeing what's doing well, what's starting to sort of decline a little bit, the experiential travel movement is rapidly growing. People are really starting to want to spend more money on experiences rather than materialistic things. And that's not just in travel, that's in all sorts of experiential space from, you know, instead of buying like an expensive handbag, some people are interested in going on a helicopter ride and that sort of thing. And there's a big swing in the way that people are spending money and what they're spending it on. And travel is really seeing the push for people who are wanting to not just, you know, see a monument, snap a picture and say that they've been there. People are now looking for that deeper level and wanting to, you know, do what the locals do, eat what the locals eat. And
I wonder if part of the impetus for that is from the fact that when you go to the normal tourism places in Europe, for example, they're crowded now. There's so many tourists around that everyone wants to go somewhere where there's not so many tourists.
Yeah, I think, well, that would definitely have something to do with it. I mean, it's experiential. The style of experiential travel is not for everyone. There will still always be those first-time travellers who are looking for, you know, as you say, they want to go and see the Leaning Tower of Pisa and Colosseum and those things that you have to see when you go to somewhere like Italy for the first time. But it's the more the travellers who have travelled a fair bit, they've been there, done that, and they're looking for something else and something a little bit different. And I think with all these new cooking shows and showing all these exotic places around the world where, you know, people like Luke Nguyen are cooking in rice paddies out in Vietnam and that sort of thing, it gets people a bit more comfortable with wanting to go outside their comfort zones. And I think that that sort of further education and further exposure is also driving this swing as well.
Are many of your tours all about food?
No, we don't have any tours that are specifically like gourmet or cuisine tours, but it is a strong element in almost all of our tours.
Yeah, and obviously different kinds of food, not just 2- and 3-star Michelin restaurants.
Yeah, that's right. We will always try and find the more local and authentic style of dining as opposed to the high end.
Well, great to talk to you, Lisa, and I wish you all the best with your business. It sounds like it's going really well.
Thank you so much, Alan.
I've been talking to Lisa Pagotto, who's the founder and director of Crooked Compass.